Welcome to Scripture Studies, a program of Bible study brought to you by the Central Church of Christ. And now, Ben Bailey.
The divine arrangement of marriage is in trouble. Statistics reveal that around one in every two marriages is going to end in divorce. Years ago, this was never heard of. But today, in our day and age, marriage is put off and put on with such frivolity that it's almost a common thing. We need to understand today that God has a lot to say about the subject of marriage and divorce. And if we understand the purpose of marriage and God's teaching on divorce, it will help increase the value and importance of marriage in our own minds. All the way back to the early chapters of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible records that the Lord God saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and He made a helper for him. As a result, we're told in Genesis 2:24, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." From the very beginning, God made the marriage arrangement to be one woman and one man for life. And so today, if we understand what marriage is about, if we understand the purpose of marriage, if we understand God's arrangement for the home and how our marriage can be as God wants it to be, then friends, I think marriages will begin to be a success again. It is true that if marriage is going to be a success, it'll only become that way by following the will and teaching of God who Himself created marriage. And so I believe that your marriage can be great. I believe that it can be successful, but there are certain things you need to understand about marriage itself and the purpose of marriage for it to be this way. I believe your marriage can be great if you understand why God created marriage, if you understand the purpose of marriage in this life. Why did God create the home? Why did God create Eve for Adam? Why did God institute marriage? Well, we learn insight in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. God created marriage to provide needed companionship. You remember Genesis 2, verse 18? The Bible says in the first part of that verse that God saw. He saw that it was not good for man to be alone. And as a result, He made a helper for him. Friends, it's a proven fact that man does not do good by himself. Man is created to have a companion. He's created to share his feelings, share his thoughts, share his joys, and share his sorrows. No one likes to be alone in life. It's just a proven fact. Loneliness causes lots of problems in our day and age. And so what is one of the purposes of marriage? To provide needed companionship. Oh, how thankful we ought to be for the companion that God has given us. The very fact that we don't have to spend life alone, that we have someone to share this life with. Another purpose for marriage found in the early chapters of Genesis is to propagate the human race. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, God's command to Adam and Eve was, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." God created marriage so that the human race could grow and populate the earth. And so children are another reason that marriage is a purpose or an institution from God, so that we can have children, so that we can have someone to carry on our heritage, someone else to share our joys and all our stuff in this life with. But I believe another reason, another purpose for marriage is simply to help one another get to heaven. Although marriage may provide companionship and it may propagate the human race, I believe one of the greatest reasons God created marriage was so that we could help one another get to heaven. Do you remember Genesis 2 and verse 18? God again saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and so He gave him a helper comparable to him. A helper to do what? To wash the dishes, to do the clothes, to cook, to clean? No, that's not why God gave us a wife. That's not why God set up the institution of marriage. I believe God gave Adam a helper for one high and holy reason, so they could help one another get to heaven. Someone along life's road to pick us up when we get down, to hold hands together on the way on this journey of life. And so I think before people get married, if they realized that this was one of the purposes of marriage, they would ask themselves, before I enter into this contract, they would ask themselves, is this person going to help me get to heaven? Will this person help me to grow spiritually? Does this person have an eternal goal in mind? Or are we just sometimes living for the flesh? And so the divine purpose of marriage is to help one another get to heaven. Marriage was also instituted by God to prevent immorality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, we learn that it is better to marry than to burn in the passion and lust and desires of the flesh. People ought to marry rather than to give in to sexual immorality. And so that is one of the purposes of marriage. It's not the reason to get married, but it is a byproduct of marriage that we don't have to live in sexual immorality. Another reason for marriage is to help people develop spiritually. I believe God gave man a wife and woman a husband so that they could help each other to grow spiritually. Ephesians chapter 5 presents a beautiful scene of marriage. Verses 21 through 31, husbands are to love their wives. Wives are to submit to their husbands, even as we submit to Christ. And in this arrangement, we're all to give God the glory. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, husbands are to dwell with their wives with understanding. And so part of the relationship is to help one another to develop spiritually in this life. But another reason for marriage is another purpose in marriage, to help it really be what God wants it to be, to make marriage successful. A person must let God and the Bible be the standard. Friends, I want to suggest that most marriages are ending today because people have not turned their marriage over to God and the Bible. They're not living according to the will of God. They're not letting the Bible be their guide for marriage, and as a result, they're going in directions that are not approved in God. And so one must let God and the Bible be the standard for marriage if it's going to be a success. For example, God ought to be the foundation, the center of every marriage. The Bible does say in Psalm 127 verse 1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." And friends, it could be said of marriage that unless a marriage is built together, is strengthened by God and Christian principles, it's a vain effort to try to make that marriage work if God is not at the center of it. There will always be things like selfishness and pride and lustly desires that get in the way. And so marriage must be held in reverence. And the only way to do that is to put God at the center of our marriage. Husband and wife, you ought to make it your goal in life to help each other be more godly. That's a divine institution, marriage, and we ought to try every day to grow together in Christ, to be more godly, to be more God-like in our life. You know, we can let God and the Bible be the standard today in our marriage if we study the Bible with each other. One of the things in the past that helped the home was that husband and wives and children would sit down and they would study the Bible together. Oh, what a great strength that was to the family. What a great strength it is for any person today. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If the individual is to study, then the family should study as well. We see this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. You're to teach your children the way when you lie down, when you rise up, put it on as frontlets over your eyes, on doorposts of your house. In every opportunity available, parents are to teach their children the Word of God. And so study the Bible with your mate. Study the Bible with your children. Another application that would help God and the Bible be our standard is when we learn to pray together and to pray for each other. James teaches us about the power of prayer. James 5 and verse 16 says, "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails or overcomes much." We want to have help in the home and with our marriage. Let's pray together. As a family, let's pray for each other that we'll grow together and learn to love the Lord more. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, "Men are to pray always and never lose heart." Don't get discouraged. Turn to God in prayer. Now, we do know that there are certain guidelines that revolve around marriage in the home. For example, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, men are to do the praying everywhere. Men are to be the leaders in prayer. But that doesn't mean that as the man prays, the woman can't pray along silently with him and the children can't do the same. And so we need to pray together for each other. But most importantly, we need to be willing to put God before each other. A person, before he marries someone, ought to ask that individual, "Do you love God more than me? And friend, any person that loves God more than you, in reality, has your best interest at heart. Because if they love God more than you, then naturally, they're going to want to make God happy, and as the Bible says, are going to want to live by the principles which make marriage a success.